in Israel, in Jerusalem, in the surrounding area around Jerusalem, you would think that there would be a lot of things that are very ancient. And when I went there many years ago, I thought that I was going to go and I was going to see all these things that I was going to walk in the very footsteps of Jesus. I was going to walk on the same roads, and I was going to be in the same buildings, and I was going to do those things. What I found when I went there is that there are many beautiful structures, and there are many beautiful churches, and lots of other things that really weren't there during the time of Jesus. And they were actually built there many years after Jesus had raised from the dead. And there, in fact, there were very few things there that were actually there during the time of Jesus. You know, societies move on, and when societies move on, they oftentimes renovate existing things or change things. The roads that are here, even in Strongsville, are not the same roads that were here 100 years ago or when the town was made. Their buildings are, we have a few buildings over there that kind of have been saved, but most everything is new. Now, imagine having been 2,000 years ago, the changes that have been made. And truth of the matter is, many of the streets that are in Jerusalem and in Israel, when they renovate, they just kind of knock the structures down and smooth it out and build over it. They didn't haul everything away because it was a lot of labor involved. So if you go there, the actual street might be 7 or 8 or 10 feet underneath the current street. And buildings built on top of buildings where they cause it to fall down and use it as the base for building buildings. Now, there are very few places where you can actually go to where Jesus actually stepped. One is in the house of Pilate. That place is still there, and you can still walk up some steps to go to where Pilate and Jesus met. The other is outside of Jerusalem. And it's a road that goes from Jerusalem to an outlying little city called Emmaus. It's about 10 miles out, 7, 8, 10 miles out to go out to Emmaus. Alongside the main highway, modern paved road, there is this sections, it's not even a full road, but there are sections of this very ancient road. It's ancient because it was built by the Romans. When the Romans were great builders of roads and streets, that was how the Roman Empire grew, as a matter of fact. Some people think it was their military that made them grow. It wasn't their military. It was their ability to build roads and move that military and move things quickly on the Roman roads. And control of the roads was how they oftentimes controlled their conquest. There's a road out there that might not be much wider than our aisle here, maybe a little bit wider. And it's made with huge stones. I mean, stones like that are this big around and maybe that thick that the Roman architects leveled out the ground and they placed these stones in to make the Roman road. It wasn't like pavement and it wasn't like gravel. It was big stones. So when you rode a cart or something or you drug a cart across it, it was certainly better than going in the mud, but it was not something I'd ride my bicycle on. Okay? When you rode across those carts, it would go like, it must have been terrible riding, just riding back and forth. That, you know, and stones, if you have any paving or stone driveway or stone patio or something of that nature, you know that sometimes they kind of change in position, don't they? And all of a sudden you'll get one that'll stick up a little higher and one that'll be a little lower. And there's a difference in the height of the stones. On this road to Emmaus is made up of stones like that. And it went through the countryside at that time, and on each side were fields of grapes and olive orchards all these other things that were used for agriculture between the city of Emmaus and the city of Jerusalem. And traffic was prevalent between those roads. When I went, I really wanted to walk on that road, but at first it was questionable whether I could walk on that road or not, because the road was going down into the Palestinian section at the time. And there had been lots of trouble. So the Israelis had closed off the road. You were not allowed to walk on the road to Emmaus. Fortunately, I went with a group from the World Council of Churches, and in the World Council of Churches held some weight there, and so they did give us an opportunity to walk on that road to Emmaus. So I know firsthand, when you walked on that road, because I did get a chance to walk on it, when you walked on the road, you kind of looked down, because if you didn't, and you're walking on cobblestones or you're walking on these big pavers, what would happen? You trip and fall and get hurt, right? So as you're walking down the road, and I'm walking down the road to Emmaus, I'm walking down, looking down, so I don't, and I thought about the Emmaus story and thought, always question, well, why didn't these people recognize Jesus when he first came? Part of the thing is, when they were walking with their heads down. And not only were they walking with their heads down to see where they were going, but they were filled with this grief. They were filled with this sadness that the one they loved had been killed the night before and was buried in a tomb, or a couple nights before him and was buried in a tomb. They had not heard that Jesus was alive again. Their sense was not only of being careful where they were walking, trying to get away from all the stuff that was going on back in Jerusalem, but they were also walking with this great weight of sadness upon their hearts. Have you ever done that? You ever walked with sadness on your heart? Something's really heavy on your mind, and you walk with your head down like this? You know what? When you walk with your head down like this, what do you see? You see the ground, but you don't see what's ahead of you, what you're going to bump into, or what opportunities God is providing for you. You can only see what's on the ground. Sometimes we get in those positions where we can only see what's on the ground. I'm going to switch up a little bit. Because sometimes it's important to see what's around you rather than just see whether you're going to trip or not. A few years after going to Emmaus, I had the opportunity to go to San Francisco with another church group. And we went out there for this seminar on church growth and evangelism. And we went out to this beautiful hotel. And there about 600 of us gathered to learn how to do evangelism. How to spread the word of the Lord. Well, I've always been a little odd, a little cocky about things. And I listened. And one day, as I'm out there, I'm walking between the hotel and the conference center, and there are everybody's in their group, and they're gabbing and talking, and they're just walking and not noticing anything else. And I kind of look down and around me, and here's this guy, no legs, sitting on one of the, kind of like a, what do they call this? I want to call it a creeper. You know what I mean? A creeper or a thing that you move around. Yeah, that's a creeper, but it wasn't quite a creeper. It was like a little cart that had four wheels on it. A dolly. Thank you. And he was on that dolly, sitting down with a cup in front of him, shivering in the rain. And occasionally I stood there and watched, and occasionally somebody would come by and he'd drop a coin in his cup. And they'd keep going. And I'm over there for this evangelism conference, right? So what do? I went out and got some stuff from McDonald's, came back and said, "Can I sit here with you?" That's why. Because I'd just like to talk to you. He says, "Nobody ever sat with me before." So I sat down next to him and said, "Hey, you know, I was out at McDonald's and I got a couple extra sandwiches here. Would you like one?" "Well, all right." And that day we sat in the rain. Drizzle rain. I mean, it wasn't really pouring. It was, you know, like a misty rain. You know how it comes down? And we sat in the rain together, and the guy told me his whole life story. He told me how he lost his legs in an auto accident. And he told me about the rough stuff that he was going through in his life. He told me that the money that he got from begging was pretty much all that he had. That his life had been really, pardon the expression, knocked to hell. And I'm sitting there talking to him. And I'm in this evangelism conference thinking, well, maybe I should share the love of the Lord with this guy. And I need to do that. And I look at him and his struggles. And he says to me, "But I'm going to be okay. Because I know that Jesus loves me." And I thought, here he is in his position on this road with everybody else walking by in the pits of life. But his view was one that was up, not down. He wasn't sitting there on his cart that he moved around with his hands. That's how he moved around. Looking down and saying, "Oh, woe is me." But his view was down looking up. And he could see everything was happening. And from his perspective, his eyes could be lifted beyond the shadows of this earth to see the light of eternity. I found that day that he evangelized me, rather me evangelized him. Here I thought I was so hot, good, and God put me in my place. When the people were walking on the road to Emmaus, being down, and this stranger came up, a stranger, by the way, isn't that odd in our world today? How many of us would even talk to a stranger if they came to us on the street? What we would do is do what? We'd go, "Oh, let me walk by you. Ooh, don't talk to anybody." That's what we've been told as our kids, and that for safety reasons, but, and now we're getting to be adults, we don't want to have any conversations with our, "Excuse me, sir, I don't know you." But in their conversation, Jesus started telling them the scriptures. He started sharing with them that what was needed to happen, or what happened, what was supposed to happen. That the scriptures said that the Son of Man was going to be handed over. That the Son of Man was going to have to die for the sins. And that the Son of Man, the Son of God, would rise again. He told them that as he was walking on the face of the earth. But because their eyes were turned down, because they were in grief, they could feel the warmness in their heart, but they couldn't understand who was talking to them. We all walk lives, roads in our lives, and we all come in contact with others. Sometimes I wonder if the little guy with no legs on the cart, if I wasn't sitting next to the Lord. Sometimes I wonder if we miss the holy connections because we don't lift our eyes, because we walk with our heads down, thinking about ourselves, and we miss the holiness that God has in this world for us. On that road to Emmaus, the two felt something special was going on with this stranger who was walking with them. They didn't know quite what it was, but they knew that something special was going on. So when it came time for them to call it a night and stop at a little inn, you know, along the road, because you're walking, there were inns along the road, little places for you to stop, and you could have a little dinner, a little wine with your bread, little maybe cheese and some olives or something, and have some light dinner and stay at the inn. They said to him, "Why don't you stay with us? Why don't you, it's getting late, stay with us." They invited a stranger to stay with them, to break bread with them. At first, Jesus wasn't going to do it, but then he decided that he would do it. And when he did it, they came to that place. And they sat down at that table. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine sitting at that table? This guy you don't even know is sitting at the table with you. Your heart is heavy. And he does something like this. "Father, thank you for the bread." And he gave it to them. And in that instant, it all became perfectly clear just who he was. In that instant, their eyes were opened. Their heads were lifted. Their hopes were renewed. Their lives were saved. When he broke the bread. And then all of a sudden, he disappeared. For an instant, the holy had touched the lives of those two men walking on the road to Emmaus. In an instant, the holy had touched my life in San Francisco. When has the holy touched your life? Let me rephrase that. When has the holy tried to touch your life, but you wouldn't give it an opportunity, you wouldn't see? You can't see the holy when you're looking at the ground. It may keep you from stumbling on the blocks, But you miss so much. You miss so much. Take time. Look for the holy. Look for the face of Jesus in others. Expect that you're going to be touched. And you will. And you will. When Jesus gave us this holy sacrament, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He also said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin." Every time you do this, remember me. I think that every time we do this, we touch the holy. And the holy touches us. When you come today to receive this, remember that you're touching the holy. And when you go from this place and you're walking on your own road, remember to keep your eyes lifted so you can see God's interaction in this world. By the way, remember me telling you how rough that stones were? Do you know what the men did after recognizing Jesus? After walking all day to get to the place where they were staying? You know what they did? They ran. They ran on that road back to tell the disciples that they had seen the risen Lord. Not with their eyes cast down, but with their eyes focused towards God. Something about running the race. You can't run the race when you're looking at the ground. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his, what's it say? Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will look become strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. This is the sacrament of our Lord. This is what was said at the table of Emmaus. Pray with me. Lord, bless these elements. May we remember that as we take them, we take you into our heart. May we always remember that we're not worthy at all to receive them. But your love gave us these wonderful gifts that we may touch the holy. Lord, bless us. May we walk this day with our heads held high, because we know the assurance that you have been raised from the dead and are on the right hand of God the Father. Bless us, Lord. Amen.